little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. Welcome back to another episode of the 300s Podcast. My name is Red, and as always, I'll be your host. I've got Big Z and Giorgio with me today. And guys, seeing as the whole crew is heading out to Las Vegas in a couple of weeks, we thought it was only right to kind of talk about our experiences there, dedicate the episode to the best of Las Vegas, the best movies, the best TV shows. You know, there's really a whole lot going on. I know we got New Vegas, Old Vegas, we got mobsters getting buried in the desert. So there's a few things we want to get through, and I don't know. We got the whole crew going out there in a couple of weeks. We might all make it back alive.
No shot.
Yeah, now, but I'm looking forward to it. We'll try. You know, I'm going to try to walk into a casino with 100 and walk out with, 105. I want to have a big night.
And I got to say, I am not exactly the world's best gambler. My goal is to just not walk in there and, you know, look like the girlfriend of some, you know, high roller. Like, oh, here you go. Roll the dice, honey. But, you know, I'll play a little blackjack. I'll play some slots. You can play a slot of pretty much anything. They have Simpsons slots. They have Walking Dead slots. I mean, they have slots for fucking everything. They had a Game of Thrones slots game. It's like, you could sit there and spend $10 and, you know, kill a half an hour.
Slots are for losers, but I hope.
Just an example.
I hope that Simpsons slot machine has Gamblor.
It's just, I mean, they made a whole episode about how Marge had a fucking problem, so.
She has been taken by Gamblor. God bless FXX for bringing back the classic Simpsons episodes.
I know. It's like one of those things. I think, Kyle, you own all, if not all the seasons, a lot of them. And it's just, you know, they're on all day, every day. So I just can't justify the purchase at this point.
Yeah, I kind of just bought them as, you know, a backup just in case FXX ever, you know, loses the rights or something. But I like having them, you know, stored away for when I don't feel like turning on, you know, the cable box or something.
I've got all the Seinfeld DVDs, and I have Hulu, but I'm too cheap to buy Hulu without commercials, so it has commercials. So I've got the Seinfeld DVDs in my basement, but I will watch with commercials on Hulu just because I don't feel like going downstairs and then getting on my knees in front of the DVD player to put it in the DVD. That's how lazy I am. I will watch commercials.
Well, it's like I look at, you know, my case of all the different DVDs and Blu-rays that I have. And I know, Kyle, you and I were pretty big on Steelbooks for a while because we had Best Buy cards like children. And I have the first two seasons of Thrones, which are like $50 each. And I'm like, they're free on HBO Go that I already paid for. What am I fucking doing?
You know, yeah. What's even worse? When you buy the DVD set for $50 and then 6 months later, it's $10 now. I think... Oh, yeah. When they started releasing SNL on DVD, I think I got one of the first seasons for $60. And yeah, now they're $15 at Target.
I think the worst experience for me was when I bought the, I was just sitting around. I'm like, you know what? I really want to watch Django. I need some Jamie Foxx in my life. And I went out and I bought the Steelbook and it came out on Netflix the next fucking day.
Can I return this?
All right, so I was sitting around, and it actually just came on. It's been on a lot recently. I don't know if government's listening to what we're talking about, where we're going, but The Hangover was actually on HBO the other day, and that's one of my favorites. Taking a look at that, The Hangover came out in 2009, and that was directed by Todd Phillips, and you know he's known for movies like Old School and all the, you know, what do they call it, the frat crew back in the day. Frat Pack. That's what it was, and we got Bradley Cooper, before he was really a star, I think this is what really launched him. I know he was in Wedding Crashers before that, but this was the movie that really put him on the map. And then you got Zach Galifianakis, and then other people that don't really deserve top billing.
You know what?
Ed Helms.
Yeah, Ed Helms, right. It was before I watched The Office, so.
It's funny you mentioned Bradley Cooper, though, because I've seen this in social media. Hey, in 2006, Bradley Cooper was playing Sack. Now he's an Academy Award winner, all that stuff. So if it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone.
I was like, you know, when you have a few beers and you're watching a movie, you go down the IMDb rabbit hole. And before Wedding Crashers, he was only in Wet Hot American Summer. And then he was just doing like theater and bit roles. And then he was just the crazy dickhead in Wedding Crashers. And that just fucking launched him. And now he's, you know, not linked with Lady Gaga, not cheating on his wife with Lady Gaga.
I hope Bezos isn't listening But the missus and I are on our third free trial of Amazon Prime right now. And what I love about that is if you're watching something on Amazon Prime on your PS4, you can hit the X button or one of the buttons, and it will, the screen will open up with every actor that's in that scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's great on Entourage because it'll tell you what music is playing in the background as well.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's like the IMDb game on steroids.
So that The Hangover really is one of the quintessential Vegas movies. Now, I've been to Vegas twice, but it's both times been for work, so never really been able to get after it. So I'm excited to go up this third time. But The Hangover, and I think, Kyle, I think you've actually driven there before, right? So when they're driving from L.A., you kind of come through the desert, and that's when the whole, you know, scope of the city with the Vegas sign pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I've been to Vegas, I want to say, I think this will be my sixth or seventh time. But the last time I went to Vegas was the first time I've ever flown there. Every time I've gone there, I've driven from L.A., and it's pretty much exactly like the movie, except for in the movie, they're going down like, you know, it's I-15 in real life. In the movie, they're going down these dirt roads. And it's just like, you know, I don't know where the hell, you know, they ventured off to. But no, in real life, it's, you know, it's about like 3.5 hours, 4 hours, but it's straight through the desert. Like, there's nothing going on. It's these little oasis towns where you'll get like an In-N-Out burger and a gas station. And then, you know, another hour of just sand where if you break down, you're fucked, you know. But no, yeah, it's cool. It's because it's like that approach. When you cross over the California border into Nevada, there's like two little casinos that are just like, you know, they just look like pure hell. Like, I could not even imagine. Like, you're
who's going to that?
That's what I mean. It's like you're a half hour from Las Vegas. Why the fuck are you stopping?
I have to gamble now.
Yeah, it's like one of them's called like it's like the Buffalo Bill Casino, and it just looks like it just looks like hell. Pure hell. But yeah, no, you keep going and then you get to the point where, you know, slowly but surely the city just pops out of the middle of nowhere and it's just glorious.
Kyle, you're talking about the middle of nowhere. And when I first saw The Hangover, it was in 2009. I was living and working in the middle of nowhere in Western Massachusetts. So seeing The Hangover in an air-conditioned movie theater one hot summer night in Western Mass in 2009, which is, whoa! And yeah, I still remember seeing that movie for the first time. And I think it was the highest grossing R-rated movie at the time it came out. So, you know, a lot of times people hold their noses up at comedies, but this one was kind of different from the rest.
Well, I remember when that came out, and it was 2009, so we were in college. And I remember when it came out, it was just immediately everyone saying, oh, it's the best movie of all time. It's hilarious. And already I'm like, oh, yeah, it's probably not that good. I'm like, fuck you guys. And then we ended up seeing it like months later in some little dinky theater, and it was laughing my balls off.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd Phillips, that guy doesn't miss. And I guess looking back, I'm a moron. I should have put this together, but the name of the movie is The Hangover. But they go, and it's like they go drinking, and it's like they take the first shot, and then it cuts the next morning. And I'm like, oh, I thought we were going to get a little bit more of the drinking, but next movie is called The Hangover.
You do, yeah. At the end when they go through the digital camera, I guess that's a sign of how old the movie is. They don't have iPhones.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, so that was a hilarious movie because it really does show all the wild shit in Vegas. And, you know, having been there, you're like, oh, look, I've been there. I mean, I haven't been to some of the old Vegas ridiculous shit they're doing, or, you know, Mike Tyson's Tiger Cage, but it's definitely a good movie to get hyped up for.
Can we look for the corner of Get a Map and Fuck Off?
I was just going to say, the doctor is the best part of the movie.
Actually, there was something. You guys kept talking about some wedding last night.
Yeah, no shit. Our buddy Doug's getting married tomorrow.
You know what? I want the 100 back.
No. Easy. You kept talking about some wedding that you just came from at the Best Little Chapel. You guys kept saying how sick the wedding was and getting all crazy about it. Okay, I hope this helps, fellas. I really have to leave.
But do you know what Best Little Chapel? You know where that is?
I do. It's at the corner of Get a Map and Fuck Off. I'm a doctor, not a tour guide. Figure it out yourself, okay? You're big boys.
Oh, well, what's his name from Veep?
Yeah. And the Dan Band makes another appearance.
Oh, the Dan Band.
I think they tour.
Yeah, the only 6 years between movies. That's not too bad.
Like, does the Dan Band have a job, or are they just like making 30 grand from this and then just kind of banking on that every 5 years?
They probably get residuals of about $50 a year.
It's still the funniest scene in Old School where he's singing the you know, the like one of the first dances, and it's like, I fucking need you more than ever. And you see Will Ferrell go, wait, what?
Oh, the dirty looks are great.
Let's see. I mean, I don't even want to talk about Hangover 2 and 3. Those were horribly, horribly disappointing movies. They basically tried to do the same exact thing, and it just was a goddamn disaster. It's like, oh, look, we're hungover. We took drugs in Thailand.
And Doug is seemingly absent again for no good reason, because they had to keep the movie. Because
he's a shitty actor.
Shitty friend. No, it's Hangover 2 is the exact same movie, and it's not like, so bad as it is just disappointing.
It's plot for plot, like plot point by plot point, the same exact movie, just swap, like they just swap things out. That, and when I saw The Hangover 2, I was legitimately angry. I was like, you try to fucking fool me twice with this bullshit.
And the third one, I think, was a little bit different. That was definitely a red box when I was home alone one night. So it was definitely a little bit different. I liked seeing John Goodman pop up in that, but I couldn't tell you anything else about it, you know, a couple of years after seeing it. So that tells you what I think of that one, really.
Yeah, and one of the wildest things, looking back, what's his name? The guy who plays Chow, he's legit an actual doctor. Like, how the fuck do you transition from being an actual MD, going to years and years and years of medical school, to being the naked dude jumping out of the trunk of a car in the desert? A
lot of improv classes.
It's probably like one of us. Like, yeah, I have a job, but if I got offered a role in a movie, I'll fucking quit tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll whatever outfit you need me to wear.
All right, what other Vegas movies can we talk about? Where do you guys want to go next?
Well, I was kind of thinking, you know, to go off to the comedy, one of the first comedies I remember seeing as a kid being Austin Powers.
17?
Hit me.
You have 17, sir.
I like to live dangerously.
4. 21. Five. I'll stay. I suggest you hit, sir.
I also like to live dangerously.
As you wish, sir. 20 beats your 5. I'm sorry, sir.
Austin Powers is phenomenal. I remember that, Rick, you probably remember too. It was just on in the back room at my grandparents' house every single holiday. And it was like Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. My uncles would be in the back room watching this. And I'm like, you know, 7 or 8 laughing my ass off, not getting half the jokes.
Well, what's great about that movie is it's definitely a spoof of the old Bond movies. But a lot of times when you see spoofs, they just take it too far. Austin Powers is a spoof that is very tastefully done. It has a great plot to it. You know, the second and third ones I'm not as familiar with, but that first one, I'll turn that on every once in a while, and I will laugh my balls off at it. It is just so sharp.
It's so clever, too, because I was watching it. Obviously, it's a spoof, and I think once they started doing Scary Movie and things like that, it became too much, but it's a great spoof because it's subtle in a lot of instances. Like, I was watching it, and I texted Kyle the other night. Like, I was today years old when I realized that you know, they had like the play on cue calling in, and he's like, this is Basil Exposition, just like explaining the story.
And then what's his name? Random Task instead Random of Odd Jobs.
Yeah. So me and Kyle were also chatting about that, and I'm like, what is this guy's deal? Because he looks, I thought he was Odd Job for a second. So I start looking him up, and no, it turns out he's actually serving life in prison for a whole bunch of crimes.
Yeah, murder, kidnapping, torture.
He got caught like the old-fashioned way too. He got busted for like a misdemeanor or some like assault or something, and they did a DNA test, and they're like, "Oh, you're actually linked to a gang rape. You're gonna stay with us for a while."
Not great.
One of my favorite scenes. You know, obviously there's a couple of casino scenes. I'll stand. One of my favorite scenes is when he's watching the documentaries about the 30 years he missed. Yeah, and I can't believe Liberace was gay.
He's writing a list of all his friends that are dead. It's like dead drugs. Dead drugs. And he's just crushing tabs the whole time.
Mama Cass, ham sandwich.
I totally forgot that it was a Vegas movie, and you know, I know there's a whole scene where they're literally just driving down the strip, and they got Burt Bacharach on the piano, and that's another one. It's like that was what 97. So it's like half, like Caesar's Palace is there, and half the shit was not even close to being built since the time I've been there.
The casino that they filmed most of the movie at is closed now. It's not even there anymore. I think it was the Riviera. Mm-hmm. That's they shut that down probably like 6-7 years ago already.
And I'm just looking at that blackjack scene now. Is the dealer in Austin Powers the soup Nazi?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
Yes, he most definitely is.
I suggest you hit, sir.
So when we're playing blackjack, one of us is standing on four, right? Just right? Just to fuck with the dealer.
I'm sure he'll be like, I've never seen that happen before.
And, you know, so this came out in 97. When did the sequel come out? Was that 99, maybe, right around then?
Terrible. I hate Beyonce. Like, the Bayhive can just sink this podcast. I'll die on that hill.
Oh, Don't say that, man. The one-star reviews are coming. We love her. But I do remember at the time being disappointed that Elizabeth Hurley wasn't in the sequel for no other reason. Hey, she was good in the first one. 20 years later, I'd go see her in the Austin Powers 4 tomorrow.
She looks exactly the same. It's unbelievable.
Machine Gun Jumblies, how'd I miss those?
I mean, that's one of the best parts where they try and seduce him at the end of the movie, and then he just takes his pants off and starts seducing them, and then Vanessa walks in, and he's like, oh, well, they had, you know, smoke started coming out of the jumblies, and they tried to, you know, use the mojo, and I tried to use my mojo, we cross-mojification, and then the head started blowing up.
The last scene I'll mention, just how proud he is when he says this. I stooped her. Or what was the line?
I shagged her.
I shagged her raw, baby. Just so proud of himself.
There's a lot of great scenes in that movie where he goes to pick up his stuff after he gets unfrozen. Like, Danger Powers. No, my name's Austin. It says Danger Powers. Danger's my middle name. It's just like, you know, someone wrote that in the back of a cocktail napkin.
Oh, yeah. Or what's his name from... Mad TV, what is it? Not Michael McDonald, is it? What's his name? Something McDonald.
Like that, yeah.
And he's in front of the steamroller. No! The steamroller's 100 feet away going a mile an hour.
Already tries to do a three-point turn in the hallway with that little cart. He just gets stuck.
It's like driving in the North End in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Well, keeping it on 90s comedies, right around the same time, of those vacation movies, Vegas Vacation, 1997, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, will come up again later in this podcast. A little foreshadowing for our fans, and Randy Quaid. And we will definitely be hitting the cheap part of town, Old Vegas, play some war, you know, guess a number, I'm in.
Which how many movies in was Vegas Vacation for Chevy Chase?
Fourth, right?
The it was fourth one, yeah.
Vacation, European.
Because didn't they switch the kids?
Yeah, they switch them in like every movie.
And because the Rusty was like all of a sudden 20, and the daughter's a stripper. I'm like, wait, hold on, we missed something.
What was it? It was Vacation when they go to Wally World.
Yeah, they had European Vacation.
And then Christmas Vacation, which is a classic. Elaine is in it.
Oh yeah, because Christmas. Is Christmas Vacation, which one is that?
I think that's the third one where...
Because Christmas Vacation...
Holy hell, past the Tylenol.
In my opinion, Christmas Vacation's the best one.
The best line in all of those movies, though, when they're in the van, what do you say, Dad? Let's just turn around and go home. I think you're all fucked in the head. We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park and you want to bail?
I think you're all fucked in the head. We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park, and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun, and you're going to have fun. We're all gonna have so much fucking fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your assholes. I gotta be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit.
I love loading that up when the missus says something to me I disagree with. I think you're all fucked in the head. And it's a conversation stopper, so maybe I shouldn't. But Vegas Vacation, you know, that was one. That was a Comedy Central weekend staple back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, we'll definitely be hitting the cheap part of town. I just hope we're not down $22,600.
Eddie, I've gambled away more money than you'll ever understand.
Try me.
$22,600.
Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, my God! Oh, God!
Eddie!
Oh, my God!
Please.
I'm interested in the buffet. I ain't doing the $1.49 buffet.
Not legs like and eggs breakfast. Yeah, get the legs and eggs breakfast.
I hear the buffet where we're staying is closer to 40, but includes bottomless beers, so...
No, we're gonna eat bagels and sip nips in the hotel room until night falls.
Hey, here's a life hack. Get one of those Mio water enhancers and put that in your shot. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, one of the truly underrated things about Vegas and, you know, in New Orleans, so I know it's the same out there, but it's just being able to drink on the street. So you can literally be drinking in a casino on your way out, stop in the convenience store, grab a tall boy out of the cooler in the front, walk out, just drink that walking down the street, and then walk into the next casino or bar. So it's like, you literally don't have to have a drink out of your hand at any time.
Okay, I got to talk to you about tall boys for a second. I was so disappointed I couldn't find this tall boy in my local liquor store. I found the 12-pack, but I don't want 12. It's the pink lemonade Natty Light. We're trying that, right?
Yeah, and we're going to make a video of the 300 reviews, because that sounds fucking disgusting.
That's going to be worse.
Awful.
That's going to be worse than the time I had Bud Light Apple in Montreal.
Oh, yeah, it's like, we're going to have to rent a car just to go to, like, a Vegas liquor store off the strip and get all the weird shit.
Do you think they have game day light out there?
I haven't seen that in a decade.
I remember we got that at, like, the 7-Eleven in Quincy about 15 years ago.
And game day ice?
Ugh. Yeah, I was watching.
Alcoholic on a budget.
I was watching.
I already have diarrhea.
I was watching Out Cold the other night, another, you know, early 2000s classic, and they're sitting at the bar, and on tap they have Red Dog and Bud Ice.
I had a buddy in college, and he said he went to college in upstate New York, and he said, yeah, Red Dog was the dollar beer. Give an alcoholic Red Dog, he'll quit drinking. That's how bad it is.
Oh, I remember.
And that used to be the big Red Sox beer. That was plastered all over Fenway back, you know, in the mid to late 90s. And I can't believe I've never had Red Dog. You know, I'm surprised it was not subliminally beat into me.
I remember our freshman year, one of our friends would come to my room with like a 12-pack of Red Dog, and they were fucking heavy. Like, I don't know if it's like malt, but it's heavy. And I'll never forget, one of our roommates went home for the weekend, and we like got after it that night before. And he didn't, you know, usually if you're bringing your parents up, you shoot a text just in, you know, in case there's any, you know, beers or dead hookers or anything. And he walks in, and like one of my friends had left all his Red Dog empties all over this kid's desk. So his mom walks in, she's like, oh, this is interesting.
We're like, college, baby.
Okay. So one of the movies I was watching the other night, it's the classic quintessential Vegas movie. It's got comedy, it's got action, it's a heist movie, it's got all the best of the best. Ocean's 11, 2001. Now this one, this had all the stars. I mean, it had George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Julia Roberts, Andy Garcia, Don Cheadle, Bernie Mac, may rest in peace, Casey Affleck, Scott Conn, and a whole bunch of others. Yeah, there was a ton of people in this movie, and it was actually funny. I was reading, you know, going down the IMDb rabbit hole, just looking at trivia. Apparently, Don Cheadle's not even credited in this movie because he wanted top billing with Clooney and Pitt, and they were like, no. And he goes, all right, don't even fucking give me a credit then.
You know, that movie, it's obviously a great movie. It's got all the stars in it, and they made, you know, again, a great movie. It's interesting. That movie's coming up on 20 years old, but it certainly doesn't feel 20 years old, and it still gets rerun on cable pretty regularly. I feel like movies like that, like Austin Powers, I haven't seen that on cable in 15 years. Ocean's 11 is on every weekend, kind of like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, and another thing, and a testament to Ocean's 11, a lot of movies that would showcase that much technology look dated 2 years later. Like a lot of episodes of Entourage look dated today because they're on the flip phones. It's surprising that Ocean's 11, you know, it looks like it could have taken place yesterday.
Yeah, it's just such good, sharp writing, and, you know, it's got witty banter, which I'm always a big fan of, and you could tell that there's actually chemistry. Like, these guys are friends, they hang out. I was reading that they used to all legit gamble on set and just kind of, you know, really hang out, so you can see when they're friends and they have these kind of, like, unspoken language between each other. It is like buddies just kind of pulling a heist, so it's definitely something that stands the test of time.
Saul makes 10. 10 ought to do it, don't you think? You think we need one more? You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
You think we need one more? No, one of the things that, you know, I thought of during that movie, remember Ari Gold says, I think, to Vincent Chase at one point, look, you want to be Damon or Affleck? And it's kind of a dig at Affleck because Affleck's career was down at the time. And I went, he's right, I didn't see Ben Affleck in Ocean's 11.
Yeah, no, Casey Affleck.
Though. Casey Affleck, yeah.
Yeah, Ben Affleck was there.
Scott Kahn.
Ben Affleck was there. He was actually just gambling, actually losing money.
Getting a back tattoo. Interesting thing I read about Ocean's 11 recently. Christopher Lawrence, Las Vegas Review Journal, wrote this last October. The movie's release on December 7, 2001, had an even greater impact, introducing the relatively new resort to the world. December is typically the worst month we have from an occupancy standpoint, Paul Berry, director of hotel operations in 2001, said. December of 2001 was the best month they had that year. It's still the hotel's best December ever, despite the fact that local tourism was reeling following the September 11th attacks. So that movie comes out a week into December 2001. Tourism, you know, nobody was flying the second half, you know, after September 11th for a couple of months. That was their biggest December ever. That's pretty noteworthy.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I think I was reading that the producer of the movie was buddies with like Steve Wynn or one of the big hotel, one of the big casino magnates out there. So that's how they got so much access. Cause like, it's like, you know, going to a strip club. It's like, you don't even dare pull your phone out in the middle of a casino. You get fucking tackled by a big dude in a suit. They think you're trying to, you know, pull a job. So to get that kind of access inside a casino for however many months straight, it, you know, and it, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't feel like a bullshit movie. It's like, you feel like you're actually in there in that casino because they're walking through the halls, they're at the tables, and it's not just sets. Like, I think that there's a line in the movie where Brad Pitt's explaining to Matt Damon how he needs to know where he's going because these things are designed to keep you in. So you need to know the fastest route out. And I've done that. Like, I've been there for days at a time, and pretty much every hotel is also a casino. So you take the elevator down, you walk out, and I'm walking in circles, and I'm just like, how the fuck do I get out of here? I just need to get to the streets. I don't puke on the carpet in here. All right. What are some other movies we want to talk about? One of the big old ones that I'm a fan of, and it's super dated looking back, probably because the main star is 100 pounds heavier, but Swingers in 1996. Just a starring Vince Vaughn, who, again, we'll have another throwback reference, but he's like smooth, like lean Vince Vaughn, Swingers Vince Vaughn. And then also one of the godfathers of the MCU is Jon Favreau, who actually wrote this movie.
I was going to say, they're, if you, you know, take into account, they're both pretty fucking fat now.
It is a classic guy movie, though.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's, you know, two young guys, they're single, they got shitty careers trying to get off the ground, so they're just going out drinking, having a good time. And I love how he's just hyping up Jon Favreau because he's been a big pussy the whole movie. It's like, you're so money, baby. Do you even know how money you are? You don't even realize it. And then they
why do I have the feeling I'm going to have to give one of our group a pep talk that week? Kyle, what did you say? I think we're going to be there the longest of the group just because of time of flights. What'd you call it? Our Vegas residency?
Yeah, we're fucking starting our residency. I don't know. We'll probably have to go to, you know, a good buffet on Monday morning. You know, everyone clears out. Everyone's, you know, getting over the 3-day hangover or whatever. And
then you and I are there another 12 hours.
Yeah. We'll go see Cher. Has she still got a fucking thing going on?
I'm going to Sam's Town. I need to see the inspiration for my favorite album.
Yes. Sam's Town is very far off the strip. It's not even technically, I don't think, in Old Vegas. It's kind of it's like east of Vegas. Kind of by, I think it's even further than the Hard Rock, because the Hard Rock's off the strip too.
Do you think you could walk from the airport to the strip asking for a friend who might need to save 20 sheets just in case?
It's very close. Could. You could.
Just have to walk over some train tracks and through a couple of runways and a chain link fence.
Yeah.
Set stuff. Off some radar.
Yeah.
Red, one of the things you said about Ocean's 11 was just how realistic it was. That's definitely in contrast to another movie I watched recently, 21. 2008, Kevin Spacey, Lawrence Fishburne, Kate Bosworth, Jim Sturgis.
Before Spacey got.
He got canceled.
And it Now, Red, I got to pick a bone with you. I said to Red a couple of weeks ago, yeah, they wrote him out of They wrote him out of House of Cards, and they made the wife the president. He goes, spoiler alert. And I said, have you not watched the news in a year?
Fucking killing me.
21 normally would be a great choice for our podcast because it's a Boston movie and a Vegas movie. But that's the first Vegas movie I watch where a guy's getting the shit beaten out of him at a hotel basement. And I go, nah, that's not real. That wouldn't happen. Another thing with that movie, makes you think you can walk into a casino with $100, walk out with $10,000, when really the best professional blackjack players will say, no, you need to walk in with $10,000 and maybe you walk out with $10,800 and that'd be a good day's work. And yeah, you talk about getting access, whereas Ocean's 11 had access. Half of 21 takes place at MIT, or as they call it on a movie set, Boston University.
And yeah, so, my only gripe, maybe
the only reason I have any, you know, warm feelings for that movie is because, you know, it was filmed on that side of the Charles River. They shoot that scene in a gym that I used to be a member at, and also it was on Mrs. Z's U2 iPod, and we watched it in line at the Price is Right at 2 a.m. one time on a 1-inch screen.
Yeah, I mean, my only gripe with that movie, and I know it's based on like a true story based on a book, right? So I know it's
Blackjack Squad.
Yeah, so obviously it's true, it happened, but the movie, you're just watching, you're like, this is fucking fake. Like, this did not happen. This nerd who was selling suits to pay his way through college all of a sudden is really good at math, so the teacher picks him up and they go, and then he gets his ass beaten by Morpheus in the basement of a casino. Yeah, I don't know. Oh. Maybe it's just because Sturgis is a shit actor. I don't know.
By the way, he gets the girl. He gets the girl in the end.
Yeah, Kate Bosworth. She sucks.
It is a very...
She's in Superman Returns.
With also Kevin Spacey.
A very
pre-canceling.
Yeah.
A very formulaic color by numbers movie. Just whatever. Yeah. Oh, they won in the end. He got the girl. Cool. Oh, he's friends with his friends again. Even, yeah. You know, for once, I'd like to see a movie end with the guy getting the shit beaten out of him. Go, yeah, it didn't work out. Maybe that's Casino.
and maybe the my problem with that movie is, and I haven't watched it in a while because I don't like it. I know you watched it more recently. You can speak to it, but it just didn't feel like the poker was all that real. It just was like, I'm smart. I know the math, and we'll just have a montage, and I have $100,000 now. Yeah, and that's in stark contrast to one of my favorite movies. That's technically not a Vegas movie unless you count the last 30 seconds, but it's definitely a huge poker gambling movie as Rounders, starring my boy, Matt Damon, who apparently has an affinity for these movies. But, you know, you got Matt Damon and what the hell is his name? First Hulk, or Second Hulk, I should say. Edward Norton. Yeah. And, you know, playing all the basement ghetto card games, ripping off all kinds of people. And that movie I love because I was reading a story on The Ringer. And, you know, if you've ever read The Ringer or Grantland or any of those types of places, it's like a 50,000-word article on the most minutia of subjects. And they're talking to the writers of Rounders and how they actually created this movie, and these guys were like, they weren't professional screenwriters, they were like legit just poker hounds, and they were, you know, playing some of these underground games, and then they started writing the script and they started going to more and more of these things, and that's how, you know, certain things like don't know, the terms and the lingo was something that the slang was something that was very realistic. So even if you didn't understand it, it felt very real to you, and you felt like you were in that basement, you know, playing these high stakes poker games with randos. It also has our favorite from X-Men 3, before she ruined that franchise. What's her name? I don't know. Jean Grey, whatever the hell her actor's name is.
Oh, Famke Janssen?
Janssen, yeah, yeah.
Or whatever the hell. She was the bad girl, or bad guy, whatever the fuck you want to call it, in GoldenEye. Yeah. Xenia Onatopp.
So you're talking about poker and rounders. If you want to see some of the worst poker, most unrealistic poker on the big screen, I recommend Honeymoon in Vegas.
Oh,
now, Red, you made fun of me for this because that was a Pizza Hut giveaway item 20 years ago, and my wife has it, and she swears it was Papa John's, but potatoes.
We didn't have Papa John's.
Yeah, that's what I told her. No way it was Papa John's. They don't have that in Boston, or they didn't at the time. But we found it in a blank Memorex CD case that was kind of turned into a Honeymoon in Vegas case. And it's just as bland and vapid as you would think. You know, they're playing a ring game in a hotel room. He's playing a cash game in somebody's room. He's buying chips in the middle of a hand, and they're playing five-card draw. That's how old the movie is. They're playing five-card draw.
And isn't Nick Cage, isn't like his famous jacket the same jacket as David Putty?
That's right, the eight-ball jacket. You're right.
Just absolute trash.
You know, at the very least, it's got Nick Cage, James Caan. James Caan's usually pretty good. Sarah Jessica Parker's in it. And, you know, I know that Sarah Jessica Parker is the subject of a lot of internet memes.
Slow down there, Nelly.
She looks good in this movie.
Yeah, when she was just a little pony. But Nick Cage, I'll watch Nick Cage anything. He's fucking out to lunch, but you can't say the guy's not entertaining. I mean,
hey, I had a roommate in college said the same thing to me. He's like, "You want to go see National Treasure?" I go, "No." Yeah. He says, "Come on, it's got Nick Cage. Nick Cage, you know, you'll get your $8 worth." Yeah, it was an all right movie. One thing about that Honeymoon in Vegas, so I mentioned James Caan is in it. One thing I'm really disappointed about, I can't believe James Caan's Vegas show isn't on Hulu.
What show is that?
Just a nondescript hour-long drama from the mid-2000s, Vegas. I feel like they... Or was it Las Vegas? See, I don't even remember. That's how, you know, unmemorable it was. I think every 15, 20 years, TV networks say, hey, let's make another hour-long show about Las Vegas. And it lasts 4 or 5 years because it's got Las Vegas in the title. And I just wanted to watch a couple episodes because I used to watch that on TNT during the day when I was unemployed, you know, not that long ago. And I can't believe I can't find that anywhere. And I'm certainly not buying a DVD set. We went over that.
So you're talking about, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It was the cable show they played on TNT or TBS all the time. I used to watch the shit out of this hungover in college. And it was just like some weird mashup between Vegas lingo and like CSI and Law and Order. And it was complete trash, but it was an entertaining hour starring, what's his name from Transformers.
Yeah, I mean, it just proves our point. You know, you remember it, but you don't remember much. I think it was on NBC, but I used to watch it on TNT daytime reruns, you know, when I was living in Western Mass working nights, sitting on the couch all day.
Yeah, that's a show that is, it's like, you know, Kyle and I always talk about random shitty sitcoms that we used to watch, like...
King of Queens? Touch a Nerve?
King of Queens is a good show. Let's not get crazy here.
Bite your fucking tongue. What's the one where the guy lives in his like stepbrother's little garage?
Oh fucking Yes Dear.
Yes Dear. That's how you know you watched shit TV if you've seen more than 20 episodes of Yes Dear.
I think I've seen every episode of Yes Dear.
You know what I love about those old CBS sitcoms of that era? You know, how many fat guys can we get very attractive wives for and make it believable and realistic? You know, here's this guy, you know, he's just a fat, lazy husband married to a total dime. It's this fall on CBS.
I remember listening to Toucher and Rich probably about a year ago, and they were talking about the show with Matt LeBlanc and the wife from yesteryear. They're like, yeah, how many CBS sitcoms, like you said, it's like, can we get the fat husband with the, you know, the gorgeous wife? And they're like, well, that's why we like Man with, you know, Man with a Plan or whatever the hell that show is called, because Matt LeBlanc's the diamond, the wife's the pig.
I don't know this for a fact. I just know it to be true in my gut. CBS is probably pissed Ray Romano couldn't put on 20 pounds at one point.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, the mom made up for that.
All right, going back a couple minutes, we're talking about how good of an actor Nick Cage is. And typically, he's not really much of an actor. He's kind of just one of those guys who is just himself with a different role in a different setting. But this movie, he actually tried to act, and it's hilarious. Con Air, 1997, starring Nick Cage, John Cusack, and John Malkovich, who, you know, another throwback from Rounders. But Nick Cage is great. He's got that terrible southern drawl.
I said, put the bunny back in the box. Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
He's got that long lettuce. He just looks like an absolute psycho. And then he's just dealing with crazy assholes. And that's a great bad movie, in my opinion.
Always on TNT. It's probably on TNT right now. I'm going to look.
That's got a lot of actors. It's got a lot of heavy hitters in it. I think, I know Steve Buscemi's in it. I think Michael Clark Duncan's in it. I know Dave Chappelle's in it, like one of his first acting roles. I don't know if it's like right before or right after Half Baked. There's a ton of people in it, and that's a weird movie. A lot of unsavory characters in there, but hey, it's about the worst of the worst cons, and they have to fly them through the air because they're that bad. And it technically ends in Vegas. That's why I brought it up.
I know it's a different movie, but when you say Con Air, I can't help but think, get off my plane. I guess all the plane movies kind of mingle in my mind.
Like Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Like...
Now, we're talking about those shitty nondescript sitcoms. You know, so we've been talking about movies, but TV show, we got to mention the Entourage Vegas episode.
I'd like to split these, please.
You're going to split kings?
Yeah, what's it to you?
I got 150 grand on this head, and I want you fucking up my car.
Sir, you have to let him play his way.
Well, he's playing like a fucking idiot.
Sir.
Ari, calm down.
Ari, relax. You're going to get thrown out of the casino with 300,000 on the table.
We'll take care of it later, Ari.
Now,
that is A+.
Entourage is a tough series to go back and watch because it's tough to watch just one episode. You know, it's best when you're watching a whole season to take in all the story arcs, like Vince wants the movie, Vince gets the movie, Vince doesn't want to do the movie anymore, Vince loses the movie, Vince wants to get the movie back, Vince can't get the movie, Vince gets the movie back, end of the season. But, you know, maybe that's why it didn't work out on Spike TV or Channel 38. But I recently went back and I rewatched the whole series, and I enjoyed it again for the first time in a couple of years. But if you want to watch just one episode, the best episode to watch, I think, is that Vegas episode, because it has everything. Vince is cool. Ari makes a scene. Drama is at his most neurotic. It's a good 28 minutes if you get 28 minutes to kill.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because that's definitely a show that if you haven't already watched it and know like the context of it, not like it's, you know, crazy in-depth stories, but just knowing what the hell's going on with every character, it's hard to pick up a random episode because it's not a procedural. You have to understand, you know, the context of every situation. But the Vegas episode is excellent. And it starts with, you know, them pulling up on Ari walking down the street saying, hey, come on, let's go. We're going to Vegas. I'm not going to Vegas on a fucking Wednesday, Vince. And then they go to Vegas.
Cut to Vegas. Hey, and we got to do this too. 5 on red just to see how the weekend's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part about playing roulette. You always have a 50-50 shot if you play red and black.
Speaking of gambling, we're going to the Golden Knights game as a big group. We've got sports books in Vegas, and the Knights are going to be on the board, and I'm going to bet my mortgage on the Knights.
It's also, what is it, the Elite Eight? Or is that Pokemon? Whatever the fuck variety.
Yeah, play. It's the second weekend of March Madness, but... You know, we're going to the Golden Knights game, and I had to chat with a ticket guy, or whatever they call him, for the Golden Knights. And he could tell that I wasn't from Vegas, and he started to, you know, I could tell he was getting a little nervous because they don't sell out-of-town fans. all right, guys, I had to convince him we're Golden Knights fans. So, you know, if you got to put 100 on the Knights to be a little bit more into it, you know, we are all Golden Knights fans.
I have a hat, so I'm halfway there. Now I just need a bad tattoo.
What an absolute crock of shit that is. Like, I understand if it's a playoff game and you know, don't want Patriots fans taking over Kansas City, but it's a random fucking hockey game in the middle of March. So to have you basically have to use like a ghost credit card to have a different, you know, zip code to show the guy that we're not from, you know, wherever, that's ridiculous. But, you know, I'm all aboard. I mean, to be completely honest, I'll probably be blackout drunk. I'll probably buy a jersey of some sort. Like, who's even on that fucking team? I don't even know.
Mark Stone just signed an 8-year contract.
Is Fleury on that
There's
team?
There's the jersey.
Yep. 8 years. You can't really go wrong until, you know,
Flowers in the cage.
Where they have to trade him to, what do you call it? Eat that contract later on. But, yeah, no, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of dumb purchases that weekend.
Now, do you get the personalized jersey?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the best things, I know, Kyle, you've been to a Knights game, so you can touch on it more than I can, but it's such a great location because a lot of arenas are kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know, more so football than hockey, but it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of on the other end of town, whereas the Knights arena, T-Mobile Arena, you're literally walking down the strip and you just take a right and it's right there and there's a bar right in front of it before you get in there, the beer house. So it's such a great spot where it's like you just pour out and you're right back on the strip.
It's pretty great. It's pretty much like Caesar's Palace, the Aria, the Mandarin Oriental, the Vegas Knights Stadium, New York. So it's like it's right on the strip. So you could fall ass backwards into having a good time there.
Is it awesome? It's pretty awesome.
Oh my God. It's, you know, and Vegas is one of those places that's completely dependent on who you're with. It's like, I've been to Vegas where it's been a blast. And I've been to Vegas where I was so fucking bored. you know,
so Red,
it's really, you know, circumstantial.
You mentioned you've been out there a couple of times. I've never been out there, but you said you went out there for work. I got a buddy that has to go out there every year for a conference, and it's around the same time as the AVN conference. And he has told me they send out an email every year that says, if you set foot in that conference, you will be fired when you return. They're not fucking around, crew.
They have conferences for fucking everything out there. It's like you take a wrong turn, you can't even, you'll get, you know, lost. But it is weird because, like, I've been to a couple conferences and I've been just kind of like in town for work but not attending the conference, and sometimes they're like you can just walk right in, sometimes they're like behind like fucking velvet ropes and you have to go up and down stairs. And I think that was one of the things that we were talking about, is just it's getting out of casinos. It's a fucking pain in the ass, especially if you're a little drunk, you get turned around and it's like everything looks the same, there's that same shitty like red and black and green carpet everywhere. You're just like, I guess I'll just gamble more.
Well, you know, what's going to happen is I'm going to hit ground instead of one, or vice versa, and I'm going to walk into the North American Auto Dealers trade show, and I'm going to take a hard look at a new Lincoln Town Car.
Well, that's the thing. It's like all these casinos, it's every single one just, you know, they're all right next to each other, and some of them just blend straight into each other where it's like you don't see where one ends and the next one begins. There's no clocks. There's no windows.
I'm going to feel a little out of place because I don't have a company credit card. I think that's why everything's there so expensive, because it just gets put on an expense report.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just swipe. You blindly swipe and you worry about it next time.
Unrelated, Red, can I get a 300s credit card?
I've been thinking about getting one, but that's why we had to shut down the Facebook shop, because with all the, you know, Russian hacking and all kinds of shit going on, they're really tightening up lots of different, you know, looser areas. So like for the Facebook shop, I needed like an EIN tax number. And I'm like, we're not a fucking company that's that real. So that's why we we've migrated.
We're more of an Etsy shop.
Yeah. Sports Etsy.
We're a loosely affiliated organization that sells hats. All right. Lightning round of a couple of shittier movies that are technically Vegas movies. I've only seen a couple of these. Leprechaun 3. Yes, Leprechaun 3 takes place in Vegas. I've not seen it. That's going to be on my list before we get out there. I mean, I'm more of a fan of Leprechaun 4 with a young Jennifer Aniston, which I know Kyle and you and I watched very recently.
We watched, I'd say half of that movie, no? At least half.
Ringing endorsement. Well,
you know what? Maybe I'll just buy like a portable DVD player. They've got to be cheap right now and just watch that in the hotel room while ripping shots. Leprechaun 3 pregame.
Ooh. I used to work somewhere and we would give away a portable DVD player as one of our prizes. It was a kind of a big thing 10 years ago. And yeah, now it's like, it's an iPhone that doesn't make phone calls. Why would I want this? I have to put the disc in it? Get lost.
I don't think I even own any. I sold my PlayStation 4 just so I could, you know, because I haven't been playing video games much lately. Now I honestly don't think there's anything in my house that plays discs at all. Not even a laptop.
I remember I'm chatting with an iMac right now, and I specifically had to pay the extra $100 to get the CD drive because I thought I'd need it or want it. And I think I can count on one hand the amount of times I've used it.
Yeah, I don't have a disc drive. And the only reason like I've thought about getting like a disc converter, because you need to convert everything, is just because I have like 50 fucking CDs that are useless now. I need to get them on digital somehow.
I got concert tickets about a year ago. And when you bought the concert tickets, it came with the band's newest CD. It was the Killers. That's why I'm going to Sam's Town when we're out there. So I'm trying to open up the CD in my car. My car doesn't have a CD player. I didn't know that. I'd owned the thing for 2 years. And I went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
The thing every day, and it never occurred to me it didn't have a CD player. I was shocked.
Well, speaking of random shit we want to do in Vegas that's particularly off the strip, I know you and I, or all of us, have been watching a lot of Bar Rescue recently. So every time there's a Vegas episode, I perk up, and I'm like, all right, cool. We can go check this out, see what this bar is like nowadays. And I was watching one the other day, and it was a particular shithole. It was like a dive bar. And they redid it, and it looked pretty nice. So I was like, oh, I'm excited. I'll go look at it. I'll check it out. I look it up. I don't know the exact date, but Bar Rescue was there. 6 months later, the place fucking burned down.
Now, was that Taffer that burned it down? Or
did they need the insurance money? Was it worth more now?
Yeah.
I think the amount it was, you know, needed. I think the insurance claim was about the amount of money she owed to debt. So, you know, convenient for that lady.
Has anyone gotten a tweet back from Taffer? I got to start tweeting at him. He's a Las Vegas local. I need some tips from him. And if he could invite us into a luxury box at the Knights game, you know, that'd be very appreciated.
Apparently he's a ticket holder. So, you know, we'll just start tweeting him every single day. Like, Taffer, I'll give you a hat. I will do that.
Just because it's you. Right now. You know, so Taffer's a guy we want to run into. I saw somebody on Twitter ran into the great Brent Musburger. I would love to snag a photo with Uncle Brent.
Oh, speaking of
that's
that,
why
Musburger,
every he's... young gentleman in Alabama wants to be a quarterback.
Musburger is just a great dirty old man. Speaking of dirty old men, someone we have to go see who is going to be in our fucking hotel is the Hit King, Pete Rose.
Hit King!
And we have to I think if only one person pays, because I did it last time and it was $120, but totally worth it. You get a signed ball and you get to hang out with him for like 5 minutes behind a rope as his security stares at you just in case you try something funny.
I bet you if you take out a phone and you're even within a football field of him, somebody comes up and tackles you and says, that'll be $50, sir.
Oh, he, everything is priced for him. Like I said, I've read examples online where he'll sign balls that say he admits to killing Kennedy and 9/11 was his fault.
I've got a photo.
Jesus Christ.
Red, I'll share it with you. I got a photo. I was at a mall one time and it says, I'm sorry, I bet on baseball, Pete Rose.
I was going to say, does he take pictures and sign the picture or no? He's not have that capability.
I don't think he's got a printer with him. But he's got, you'd think the Hit King would have a printer. But he's got like packages. I mean, his autograph is virtually, you know, worthless because he signs everything all day long. But he has like different packages. Oh, he'll sign. It's like he has packages where it's like you can get a ball for $120, but for like $350, he'll sign a jersey, a ball, a bat, he'll like do your voicemail for you. it's and then you get to like, you know, hang out with him. But yeah, definitely gonna have to collect $20 from everybody so we can get like a group picture with Pete Rose.
Would it still be $1.20 if it's a group? Because if that's the case, I'm in.
I think as long as one person pays for it, I don't know his photo standard. He doesn't really have standards. So.
Just don't tell him I was also in a group photo with Faye Vincent once, the old commissioner of baseball. I don't think he'd be too pleased with that.
No, probably not. You could just walk in and be like, I'm Bud Selig's grandson.
Well, I need a... like a voiceover. I bet on baseball. Fuck
Ooh,
you.
Get... I bet on baseball. Fuck you. This is the 300s. We need that.
I'm telling you, everyone throws in $20 and we get them to do a video intro to introduce every podcast from here on out.
Ooh.
This is Pete Rose. Go fuck yourself.
George Carlin used to do that. You could order an autograph from him on his website and be like, hey, Red, go get fucked, George Carlin.
It was $50 and a ham sandwich, Pete. All right. Is there anything else we got to talk about? I mean, one of the things that I know there's a couple movies left, but one of the scenes, Vegas scene in general, it's not a Vegas movie, but one of the best Vegas scenes is from Knocked Up when Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, they just fucking take shrooms and they go to Cirque du Soleil. And that is horrifying. But that looks like a goddamn blast.
And the president's side piece makes an appearance in that movie.
You know, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that Pizza Hut was giving out movies as fucking prizes. What was that about? They didn't do that in New York.
What's the other one with the old Batman? Was it Mr. Mom? What's his name?
Michael Keaton.
It was Mr. Mom, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I got that one too, and that is such a crap DVD. It doesn't even have menus.
It just starts. Like
you just put it in, it starts.
You have to rewind the disc.
No, doesn't even have any chapters. Doesn't even look digitized. It just looked like somebody hit play on a VHS and recorded it onto a DVD and then copied that about a million times.
God. That's how I recorded the Super Mario Brothers movie back in like 1994. Right off of TNT.
All right, any other movies you want to touch on? I know there's still a lot of Vegas movies that I have to bang out myself, but anything else we want to jump on here?
I banged out Rain Man last week because that's on a lot of my streaming services, and it was the second best picture I've watched in the last month. I also watched Crash. Rain Man, not really a Vegas movie, but obviously they make it big at the tables, and I don't think I'm going to be able to count cards that way, but yeah. I think what is my most likely outcome is I'm going to sit down with $100 and hopefully 4 hours later I can leave with $1.25.
I'm just going to try not to, you know, sit down at a slot machine and, you know, put $100 in and then, you know, 10 seconds later I'm like, well, that was fun.
I'm going to try not to go to an ATM and get an advance on my credit card because that's how you get long-lasting scars.
Yeah. Yeah, we take Visa for this fucking ATM. That'll be a $30 surcharge.
So why don't we leave the wallets in the room in the safe?
Oh yeah, I'm strictly a cash business in Vegas.
I need that buffer zone.
Well, that's the perks of going to the sports book, where in theory, you know, it's like a 2-3 hour game, so it's like you just throw money down unless you're a real degenerate doing like, you know, halftime over unders and shit like that, but. You know, you sit there and you just scream at the TV, and then after 3 hours, all right, well, let's go to the next thing.
In all seriousness, the sports book is what I am most interested in, you know, dropping some money at, but no way am I betting on baseball. I know we just talked about this with Pete, but you're going to be out of your, especially March baseball, you're going to be out of your mind. I hear that MLB wanted Vegas to take spring training games off the board, and they said no. Oh, my God. You know, I think it was bad enough betting on preseason football, which people actually do. Can you imagine betting on spring training baseball games?
On Twitter yesterday, there was a, sports rumor breaker that everyone knows by the name of, I think it was Incarcerated Bob. He he posted a screenshot.
I thought he was dead.
He posted a screenshot yesterday. He did an 11-team parlay spring training bet. The payout was like $2,600.
You know, I just generally don't like the idea of placing bets on baseball games that the likes of Billy Crystal or Will Ferrell could show up in. Remember Billy Crystal with the spring training at bat 10 years ago?
Yeah, well, I mean,
fucking whacked for that.
The Mets have that going on currently. His name's Tim Tebow, who apparently this year, and I predicted this a couple of years back, he's making his way through the entire minor league system to boost sales for every single team so they can get like new concession stands or something like that. He started.
If I saw him here, I'd go.
Yeah, started in single A. Double A, now he's in Triple A, and it's a fucking shame because the Mets single Triple A team who Tebow now plays on is Syracuse, but they just ended their affiliation with the Vegas 51s, so it would have been perfect. Just missed them.
Do the Mets Triple A team, do they play in Pawtucket?
they play in Syracuse, New York now, and Tebow said
they might go to Pawtucket, hopefully.
Yeah, they would probably play against them at some point. So, yeah, Tebow would show up.
I got to look that up. I mean, I would buy it. I have a Tebow Patriots t-shirt. The wifey has a Tebow Jets t-shirt. I mean, we got to complete it with minor league baseball shirts and hopefully professional major league baseball player shirt.
I got to get on, now that he's not on the team anymore, I really, really wanted a Tim Tebow Binghamton Rumble Ponies t-shirt, but just missed it. Now I don't remember who Syracuse, like, Thunderbirds? I have no fucking clue.
I just want a Rumble Ponies logo shirt.
Right? That's a great name for a team.
All right, so we got Vegas coming up. We got a lot of movies and TV shows to lead the way for us, and hopefully we all come home with our fingers intact, not getting beat up by Morpheus in the basement of a random ass casino.
I don't think I'm going to win enough money. I don't think it's going to be an issue.
No, I might get thrown out of a casino. I don't think I'm going to get beat up for swindling them.
Ari almost got kicked out with $300,000 on the table. I might get kicked out with $300 on the table.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on another episode of the 300s Podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. Do us a favor, leave a review, and let everyone know how much you love all of us. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.